Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick with you, filling in for John Hockenberry today. In this last week of August, we're turning our attention to two books about race in America that have sat atop the bestseller lists for much of the summer. Tomorrow, we'll have a conversation about Ta-Nehisi Coates' latest book, Between the World and Me, that was written as a letter to his 14-year-old son. But today, we're opening the pages of Go Set a Watchman by Harper Lee. Released 55 years after To Kill a Mockingbird, the story follows grown-up Scout, she goes by Jean Louise now, as she returns home to Macomb, Alabama from New York City. Back in the South, Jean Louise finds her hometown and the people she loves in it nearly unrecognizable. Now, readers across the country have been eager to get their hands on this book. To date, more than a million copies have been sold. Several of you Takeaway listeners read it within days of its publication and wrote to us with reviews. We asked three of you from different corners of the country to join us for a discussion. So now, here's Glory Smith, a high school teacher in Provo, Utah, and Reverend Irene Monroe, religion columnist in Cambridge, Massachusetts, along with Josh Drotty, fire inspector in Columbia, South Carolina. Now, like a lot of you, I reread To Kill a Mockingbird before picking up Go Set a Watchman, but we kind of put aside the backstory to focus on characters and the setting, one that Josh felt was deeply familiar to him, even though the book made him uncomfortable.
I think she did a great job of distilling down Southern culture and all its warmness as well as all its coldness in many parts. We, as Southerners, like you said, will tolerate a certain amount of otherness as long as we can chalk it up to that, as long as it is otherness. But the second someone in our own ranks, wants to be different, whether it's transgender, sexual issues or race or anything like that, if you do anything that, we're very warm, we'll give you anything, we'll give you the shirt off our back, take in strangers out of the cold. But if something steps far enough out of the norm, the repulsion you get from what I guess is just traditionalism and paternalism at large is really frightening, but it really, really hit home for me.
Irene Monroe, what do you think about what Josh Drotty from South Carolina has to say about that?
I think he did an excellent job in depicting the South. I mean, I'm a girl from Brooklyn and have never resided in the South, but certainly has gone down there and certainly has seen clearly where even as recent as last year, and particularly in South Carolina, you are supposed to stay in your place. And it's told to you in a very tacit way, an eye gesture or the way a person, clutches her bag. It's quite interesting. But you get the signals even as an outsider.
We all knew the big reveal before we read the book. Atticus Finch turns out to be a Southern racist. And so I knew that. I was prepared for the reveal. I'm reading the book, waiting for the part where it comes out that he's actually a racist. But the way it's written, Glory Smith, I wasn't prepared for it. It hits you like a bulldozer. Atticus Finch goes to a racist Citizens Council meeting and is in league with some really vitriolic, sadistic people. And I had to stop reading for a couple of minutes. I knew it was coming, but I didn't know that was coming.
I think I maybe heard some more reviews and knew that was coming. But before that also is when Scout is reading the pamphlet that he's left in the living room. I remember the visual idea of her picking it up by the corner like she was afraid to touch it. She didn't want to be dirtied by this disgusting pamphlet that she went and asked her aunt about and finds out that it is Atticus's. And her aunt has read it too, and what's the problem? For me, that was the first, oh, wow, this is awful. But yeah, that was shocking, and she's completely disillusioned.
Josh, Scout sat in the very balcony, if not the very seat,
yeah,
where as a girl she watched her mm-hmm. father try to save the life of a hapless young black man who was wrongfully accused. She sat in the very seat to watch him in league with these vitriolic people, and it was like a right hook for me.
I feel like that was a big moment for Scout, and for the reader as Scout's narrator. But I wanted to say, being from the South, I held out hope way too long that he would be redeemed some kind of way, that he would explain, maybe he was just at the meeting to, watch these people and make sure nothing got out of hand. Yeah, or whatever.
I wanted to believe he was monitoring them.
So bad.
That he
so
was
bad.
He was there just to keep tabs to make sure things didn't get out of control. Irene Monroe, there's another set of contrasts in this book that I thought maybe you could speak to. In addition to the fact that you're African-American, you're from New York, you're from the Northeast, but you're part of the civil rights movement. You know, Scout leaves Macomb County and she goes to New York and she's living in the Northeast amongst the liberals. She seems happy there. She goes back home when Go Set a Watchman takes place and these two worlds crash together.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the very interesting thing about Jean Louise is that, number one, she always felt imprisoned being in that town because she was gender nonconforming. This is a woman who didn't uphold the cult of domesticity. She certainly wore pants to her aunt's disgust. So she comes out of a homogeneous society and is put into a heterogeneous society, and she realizes that the world is much bigger than the parameters of the town in which she grew up in. And so my concern was not so much that Atticus, we find out, is racist. I wanted to know if she was racist, given the fact that she has been outside of her bubble. And it was wonderful to know that this, it gives you, I thought the book was hopeful in this way. She moved. She really sort of moved from being a small town girl to what I would depict as a citizen of the world.
It strikes me, gang, that we talk about race relations and culture in the North and the South. The only real character in these books that's fleshed out to any degree, really, is Calpurnia, the paid housekeeper, who, you know, in the second book really, in a way, closes herself off to Jean Louise when she goes to visit her. What do you think about Cal and the state of relations between her and Scout by Go Set a Watchman?
Well, I think you're right. She's the only African-American character that's fleshed out at all. And I was very sad. I understood it. I saw how it could happen or why it happened, but I was very sad for Jean Louise there, where she felt shut off from Cal. Calpurnia sees the truth and she no longer works for the Finch family, and it's a new day and she doesn't have to make Scout feel all better anymore. I just felt for Jean Louise there. Really, I felt like that was when her world really crashed. This woman who raised her, they had a mutual love for each other, was kind of shutting her off, and she understood. She understood why. I mean, Jean Louise understood.
I agree. Josh Droughty, the first punch for Jean Louise in Go Set a Watchman is going to the Citizens Council meeting. The second punch, and maybe the knockout blow, is going to see Calpurnia at her house.
Yeah, that's part of the book actually made me want to cry. I mean, it was really powerful. She says at one point, when I think it's during one of her flashbacks to childhood, she talks about Calpurnia's manner. She speaks differently when Atticus has got guests over. And it kind of brought that back to me and made me wonder, you know, there's always this barrier, you know, in a culture like exists in the book and still exists pretty much today, in a much, much milder tone.
Irene Monroe, what did it say to you when Scout went and had her conversation or confrontation, if you want to call it, with Cal and realized that their relationship was over?
I loved the scene. I really did. I appreciate Harper Lee portraying Calpurnia as a liberated woman. When we get to Go Set a Watchman, she's retired because, you know, well, Jim is dead and Jean Louise is a grown woman. She's 26 years old. So I thought it was very, very good because it raised the question, when can a maid be free? I can understand why Jean Louise would ask the question and be concerned, you know, that you really hate us. And I felt like this. It was sort of like what Tom Robinson said. I feel sorry for you. And I think what her statement, Calpurnia's statement, was like, no, I don't hate you, but you never knew me. And how could you know me? Because I was never free in the role, in the subservient and obsequious role I had to play. And I was so happy. It's like, yes, Calpurnia is set free. And she can speak truth to power.
Reverend Irene Monroe, religion columnist in Cambridge, Massachusetts there, joined by Glory Smith, high school teacher in Provo, Utah, and Josh Droughty, a fire inspector in Columbia, South Carolina.